The reading this morning is from James chapter 2, verses 1 to 7, and is entitled Favoritism Forbidden. My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing a fine clothes and say, "Here's a good seat for you," but say to the poor man, "You stand there," or "Sit on the floor by my feet," have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers and sisters. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith, and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are blaspheming the noble name of him to whom you belong? This is the word of the Lord.
Well, today we're looking at faith in the pressure cooker still. Just want to remind you what the pressure cooker is on this day. The pressure cooker is the place where things get done quickly. It's where you feel the impact of every decision and you don't have the luxury of time. And it's where the difference between undercooked, perfect and overcooked is measured in seconds, and blowing a gasket can happen often. Well, we're talking about faith in the pressure cooker on this day. And today is also significant in the history of the church because it's Pentecost. This is the day of the church's enabling to become a powerful witness for the resurrection. Prophecy, teaching, wisdom, tongues, interpretation, healing, faith, helps and so forth are all given that we might be able to tell the world and show them the difference Jesus makes. It is a day of enabling for witness. It's the day the Old Testament pattern of engaging with God changed to the New Testament one. Instead of everyone living in hope, but with only a few actually having an encounter with God, everyone encounters God because of the cross and the resurrection of Christ. This raises our hope to a new level of engagement with God. No longer were we looking forward to the day it would happen. We've got it. And it also raises our responsibility before God. Now it is us who stand before God and hear him speaking to the world. And we become his voice. We are the go-betweens. And therefore, we are called to a better faith. In James, the standard of faith is Jesus' faith. If you look at verse 2, it says the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, not the faith in Jesus Christ. That's a given in James's letter. He's speaking to Christians. The faith in Jesus to cleanse you and restore you and enable you, to sustain you and to give you life and to renew you. That's what you've got. But James here says, I want you to walk worthy of the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. Aspire to that kind of faith. James is saying the outworking of your faith, your religion, which is seen in how you control your tongue, how you treat the poor, how you your personal holiness in not blending with the world, is measured against the faith that Christ had when he walked on earth. Not measuring your faith against your parents or your churches. You're not measuring your faith against mine. It's not your own aspirations. It's not the biographies of the saints that have from previous generations and you're measuring yourself against them. Jesus' faith is the one that we measure it by. His faith is our aspiration. So let's look at Jesus' faith. And the first thing we can say is he treated all equally. Everyone. the Pharisee and the tax collector, the high priest and the woman at the well. He did not bow to one and disrespect another. He respected all. He did not see hierarchies in spiritualities. He saw people as they were. He saw the damaged image of God in each one. An image repairable by the grace of God that he would supply through the cross. A woman who had had five husbands and given up on marriage and just lived with her partner. A soldier in an occupying army. A crippled man feeling sorry for himself by a pool. A vertically challenged tax collector who was despised by religious people. A man whose daughter was ill. A woman caught in adultery. A blind man begging by the roadside. A woman with a medical issue. A woman who could only weep and wash his feet when in his presence. A high priest who condemned him. A disciple who denied him. A couple of others who were into smiting the enemy. Another one who was very skeptical and cautious. A man on a cross who asked to be remembered by him. Which of these did he not respect? Which of these did he not open the way for them to encounter God? He couldn't take that way for them, but he could, and he did, point out the direction. This is the faith of Jesus that saw the image of God in other people, and he still sees the image of God in people today, in me. And I find that strange, and in you. And you may find that strange too. And he still brings grace and forgiveness and hope that restores the soul and lifts us up to receive his promises. When you express your faith, do it like he did. Don't look on the outside, look where it matters, on the inside. And if you can't see the image of God in them, you cannot encourage them to rise. If you can only see the image of God in some people, then it's your eyesight, not their potential, that's the problem. The Bible does not say that people who have the image of God in them, get the image of God in them when they become Christians. It tells us all human beings have the image of God in them. Sometimes it's buried under a lot of dirt, but it's there. Your faith, as it grows, will allow you to see more of what God sees in people. That's the faith of Jesus. Now, faith is a process. On the day of Pentecost, this faith was anointed. There were 11 cowards, a denier of Christ, a doubter, a couple of violent brothers, and many more who received the Holy Spirit, and their souls were enabled to see the things of God. It took a while for some of them to finally get it. They weren't perfected in their faith at that time. They were a work in progress. Over the years, this faith developed. Peter had a vision of a sheet with creepy crawlies on it to convince him that the image of God that matters more than is the background, the gender, the religious heritage, the wealth, or the personality on the outside. Then he had to be reprimanded by Paul when he took on double standards to cope with it all. The faith that showed partiality was a substandard faith for Christ's followers. And yet it was seen in Peter and in many others. But gradually, as the Spirit worked in them, they changed because of the encounters they had. And they changed their views because they could see the image of God in others. This faith took a door guard approach rather than a doorkeeper approach. The keeper is the one who opens the door to let people in. The guard is the one who closes the door to keep people out. And sometimes, as our faith starts, we are more like guards than keepers. But as we know Christ, as he comes in, we get to see people in the image of God long before they become Christians. This faith that shows partiality, which we find in James 2, is still a substandard faith. When colour, gender, age, wealth, attitude, values or behaviour block us from seeing the image of the living God in another person. And your faith, James said, should be becoming like the faith of Jesus. Not mine, not Paul's, not your heroes, his faith. A faith that rose to obedience, even to death on a cross. A faith that saw a glorious future, despite the mountains blocking the view. A faith that witnessed the peace of God, even when the world despised and rejected him. This is the glorious faith God has his eyes set on for you and for me. The faith for which he gives you the Holy Spirit. The faith that looks at people and sees eternal possibilities in Christ. It's a high aspiration, isn't it? Your faith should be like that, not just you with a little bit more. So today, Pentecost is here. The anointing of God is for those who want their faith to be like the faith of Jesus. Is that you? Is your faith in your pressure cooker receiving a new perspective in lockdown? Is it growing in understanding of the world? Is its heart for people enlarging? Is its zest for life rejoicing in a God who comes to us and enables us to see what God sees, especially in people? So this week's challenge, I'd like you to do some people watching. I'd like you to find out, where is the image of God in them? And then maybe you can seek to engage with that image. Would you do that? To look at people and have that little prayer that says, what is God doing? Have a little think as these pictures come up.